But like, you know, he wrote the song from like the point of view of Mick. And he was trying to write a Stone song.
Are you quiet in my headphones? Is it the headphones or the recording?
Maybe the headphones.
I didn't turn the mic up all the way.
But thank you.
Now I did.
Am I quiet?
Or just, well, I meant you.
Feel like you're quiet.
No, I meant you.
Oh.
Thank you. That was it.
Is that better? Is that better?
Yes, okay, ma'am. Honey. Yes.
Oh my gosh. You caught us mid conversation here, kids. Thank you, Don. Hi.
Okay, wait. We said.
Welcome to the show. This is the third fucking attempt at recording an interview with our good friend Carl. Hello. Third time's a charm. We brought in a whole new computer. I don't know what the hell was wrong with the HP, but it ended up being a POS. So this is the third attempt at interviewing Carl, and I don't even know what to do because the first two were so good. The first one was so much fun. Second one was a blasty blast too. We lost solid gold, Dylan. We lost gold in those shows.
In the first one, we covered me growing up in East Orange. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we can never tell that tale again.
I mean, we can. It's just not going to have the same, you know, panache.
And I talked about how the internet killed our cultures, you know, each decade being its own signature. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, did we play, Time Keeps on slipping.
That was on the second. That was the second interview. Right, you made me pull out the bazooka and start playing. That was hilarious.
Into the future. And we did that joke, shoo the children.
Yeah, shoo, Scott.
And we can never tell these stories again.
It's a shame. It really is just so
recorded history, not recorded.
It's not fair, man. It's like, what do we have to talk about now? Did you get a haircut? We're talking about that? That's how often we've seen you.
Yeah.
It's the third fucking week in a row.
Yeah, well, I'm enjoying it every sip of the way.
It's great. I mean, like, you know, it's like, you know, did you do this? Did you like throw like pennies in my laptop or pour Coca-Cola down the back of it so it would fuck up? So like you'd have to come back here? Because like we would have invited you back if you just said, hey, can I come back insecure.
I plotted to get a call back. You know, I'm not gonna be a one-time podcast guest. I'm a regular.
Oh, great.
I'm a weekly regular.
Oh man.
Told great jokes those last two also.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's nothing you could do with the tape.
Not like, not tape. If it was tape, actually, there's lots we could have done. If it was just fucking reel to reel.
You're not as old as me, but you could make that mistake and say tape. Could you? Were cassettes part of your life growing up?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I had an 8-track.
Yeah.
I had a car with an 8-track for a little bit.
Well, that's really the only way you'd get it anymore because it died fast. It was all because of that big clunk.
Well,
if it didn't do the switching a reel in the middle of a song.
The problem with it, like at least the 8-track that I had, the two that I had, you had to put a matchbook on top of the tape to keep it from shaking and warble, like especially the one in the car.
Yeah.
If you hit a bump, the tape would warble.
Well, yeah,
it would get jammed or it gets stuck in.
It's like you're playing a video. Imagine doing that in a car.
Exactly. It's like this, and like the tape was, you know, it wasn't even the tape was really all that much bigger. It wasn't bigger than cassette tape reels. It was just the cassette cassette was more compact. And they kind of came out around the same time. It just, 8-track just lost the race, which is, you know. But, I had.
But deservedly so.
I remember, you know, I'm sure you did too. Yeah, you've got recordings of you on cassette.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we listened to you as a wean on a tape on a few episodes ago.
Oh,
and we listened to my first tape from when I was like 6 years old.
Yes, we did. Yeah, tape. I've a lot of experience with tape. I even recorded on a 4-track tape deck.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I used 4-track. It was fun.
Yeah, it blew your mind. Yeah.
You were so heavy. Mm-hmm. It weighed as much as like a fucking PA head. It was
But that
massive.
Meant like it was a real piece of equipment. Uh-huh. It felt like I can do this. Yeah. I can have my own home studio. I mean, but then everything was physical and pricey.
Well, uh-huh. I've been so like you could you know, you could run sound from an iPad, from any tablet now. You could have, you know, have the program running and you just have all your faders on the touchscreen. Yeah. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I'm so much more comfortable.
I had my son do it.
I'm so much more comfortable holding the knobs and the dials and just feeling it go down, feel like, you know, it just feels better, you know, like the mix of digital and analog is great. But when it becomes all digital, I don't know, it loses a lot of its humanity, if that makes any sense.
Uh-huh. Joni Mitchell did this song called All I Want.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I used to love that song. So great, you would song. Put it on. Okay. So the first time I ever heard it, not on vinyl, you lose the bottom part of it. Mm. Like, people think, like, you say, oh, vinyl, it's got the whole, and they're like, yeah, okay, boomer, you know.
It's but, true.
Right. And it's not like, I mean, it's fine. You can hear the whole song. You're enjoying yourself. You don't know what you're missing, so you're not missing it.
Yeah, well, it's, but when it's you the put compression. The vinyl on, it's, every, you know, vinyl's not compressed. No. It's you know, it breathes.
It's at that cracky, it's analog. Yeah,
the hiss, the pop.
It's Thomas Edison technology.
It's part of it. The crackle, the perfect skip. I love it when a song's playing
yeah.
and the skip is perfect.
Yeah.
And you don't even care. It just sounds like an extended bridge, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever memorize your skips?
I remember one very well, but that's it.
Well, yeah, like I would be like riding my bike, singing the song in my head. Been a long time since rock and roll. For me, it was.
out on the tiles, we would do my dad would do a deliberate skip. So you would hear the intro more,
but the
and he would lift the needle. He would lift the needle right up and just drop.
Perfect. That would have worked if they had done that.
And I have it on a tape that he made somewhere. It's I think it's down in that punch that cigar box.
My guitar.
But we burned that.
Damn it! I could tune it so it wouldn't just be.
He did that on a mixtape. You know, a bunch of songs, and that was the first song on side two, and that intro part went on for like 4 measures when it's only supposed to be one. You know, it just kept going, and it sounds, it's like
they meant
it sounds
it.
Better. It should have done that.
Yep,
Jimmy should have done that. Jimmy Page, you idiot!
I'm so glad I'm leaving. Stop living,
great, David. Great line. I love that bit. There's one of my favorite. Covers of that I actually just stumbled across. I'm not a big fan of covers, especially when it comes to Zeppelin.
Uh-huh.
But there's this guy out of fucking, where's he out of?
All I need from you.
He's out of Iowa. And he did a cover of that with accordion. What the hell is Jules A. J-U-L-Z-A. I think is his name. But he did a really rad, really fucking weird, like hip hop accordion version of Out on the Tiles.
Uh-huh. As I walk on down the highway, all I do is sing my song.
The accordion.
Like, what? And, yeah, and like a full body accordion.
Wow, that.
It's crazy good, and it shouldn't be.
But yeah, right.
Because it's so far away from the original. It actually,
editing put this clip in.
It actually comes back full circle. Because it's just one of those, it's such a good out there cover. It deserves to stand on its own. It's very rare that a cover can do that.
You saying accordion just made me think of mandolin. I don't know why. And one of those episodes,
they're both Italian.
I said the mandolin. I loved it. I love Baby Yoda. We're never going to get these jokes back.
But we still got Baby Yoda. He's right behind you.
Oh.
See?
Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah, we're nerds up in here. I know, we're never going to get those jokes back. I'm really sorry about that, Carl.
That's okay. We'll have to make new jokes.
Yeah.
Let's start now.
Go. Say something funny.
I have a no interest credit card because I have no interest in paying it. If you are for condoms, you are prophylactic. I'm a responsible driver, responsible for 3 accidents. You have a wonton soup. Later, you have a wonton poop.
Actually, I kind
of. No, come on. No.
Yeah.
What?
Wonton poop? Come on.
I love it.
Catholic cats have 9 lives, Mormon cats have 9 wives.
That's not bad.
Did I redeem myself?
I love scatological humor. I don't care what anybody says.
Rest in power, Pope. How do you
feel about the woods?
How do you feel about the Pope passing away?
I got to tell you, it doesn't. I've seen four of them go, right? Pope John Paul. They all feel like they're going to be forever. The one who was Polish and really was behind the Solidarity movement. They all go.
John the Second.
I saw that guy get shot.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he was in the Popemobile, right? And he had his robes. They were white. And so when the gunshots came down into him, the thing was flipping out. It was like a movie.
It was crazy. I remember that. What year was that? I remember seeing that like on replay. I didn't see it live.
So the thing is, in the end, the Pope is like a head of a non-money-making organization that's like has wealth. They have...
Well, yeah,
property and
sovereign nation, for Christ's sake.
That's right. Yeah. That is wealth,
for
right?
Christ's sake.
When you must have trade relations with my goddamn church.
When it comes, but this particular Pope we just lost, Frank, I call him Frank. We were pretty tight.
He's like that with everybody. Everybody thinks he's his best friend. It's one of the reasons he is Pope.
He was a good Pope. He was a good Pope.
Frank.
He was a nice Pope. You felt like that's Pope you could have had a pint with, you know?
Yeah.
That's Pope you could have sat and fed the birds with, you know? Right?
Mm-hmm.
He chose the name Francis. St. Francis, patron saint of birds.
All animals, yeah.
You know, that's a thing. He was such a nice guy.
One time we were in the park, he blessed a goose.
The Pope we had before that, how do you even get close enough to bless a goose? He must have really been flinging that holy water.
Oh, well, no, if I had gone up to the goose... But no, he was the Pope.
It's Frank.
So I used to take my kids to the beach and they would chase the seagulls and they'd all fly away. I might interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then I found them at the Target. They were in the Target. So we didn't have to go to the shore. Every weekend I would take them down. They would chase the seagulls and they would run away. The seagulls got mad and they started dropping rocks on my car after the third time we did it. And I was like, all right, kids, let's go.
They figured it out. Yeah. Right.
So one time we go to the park with the whole family, like the extended family, and Scott starts running after a goose because he had learned from his nice father, you can chase birds and they'll just fly away. So my wife is turning her head. I heard it in slow motion. She was like, no, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't get nipped. That was inevitably what was going to happen. But the thing hissed its ass off.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, I don't know, 7. So he was like, what? He ran away.
Dude, 27. I'd be doing, fucking goose. Jesus Christ. It's a what do they call those chicken cobras? Is what Australians call Canada goose.
Really?
They call them chicken cobras.
Well, their head,
they're
you know, the neck.
Yeah, because it's thrown on a swivel.
Now, man, you know,
I used to go fish quite often when I was a kid, and the ponds by my grandma's house, every fucking year, the Canada geese would just come and just swarm.
Yeah.
And it was like, you'd have to get there early to get a spot before the geese got there.
Because
once
they
the geese got there,
their...
they wouldn't care. That just like they would just get like right up close to you on the edge of the water, and then they would just decide when to attack. It wasn't a matter of like why, it was just when. It would get closer and closer, and then one would just turn so pick the big flap and just start fucking charging towards you, and I'm like 12 years old, just Jesus Christ, fall down. getting shit mixed by geese. And then I got smart eventually, and I realized that if you doesn't work every time, but if you stop, if you to scare a bear away, if you get yourself as big as you can,
not
like
with the goose, yes,
throw your arms up in the air, they will
really
some of them do back down. It's cool. You got like a 60-40 chance against, but like you have a chance, you have a chance, and you, like it's I don't know, I feel like it's a bit more dignity to at least trying to stand your ground versus immediately folding to this animal that, in all honesty, if you grab the hold of the thing by its neck, it's dead. That neck is so flimsy. It's all you gotta do is squeeze. They're done. You know, like, you're not good looking that fucking close though.
Right.
Because it's such a fucking threatening thing.
If you just hold the snake, he can't bite you. Get it? Okay.
I was born a snake handler, I'll die a snake handler.
Now, we eat goose, human beings do, you know?
Not Canadian geese, though. They're so fucking gross.
Oh, yes?
Oh, they eat garbage.
No, okay, okay. But if it was the apocalypse, you could capture a goose, and tonight we're having a fowl. We're having
a
turkey.
Like, yeah, like if, you know, you had no other choice, I suppose, but like there's better geese to be had.
Well, like in England, like in A Christmas Story with Scrooge,
goose. That's not a Canadian goose. That's a goose that was raised on a farm and like fed, you know, just fed corn and fattened up, you know. Like,
We used to eat pheasants, we used to eat quail, mm-hmm. and it all went down to the chicken.
Yeah.
It's because it's just the easiest bird. Like, that's why we eat cow.
Chickens are so easy to breed. When I was a kid, those same ponds, like in it's B-Meadow Ponds in Whippany. My grandparents had a house, or my grandma's still there. Happy birthday, 94 today. But
wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
Terrific.
But they live across the street from B-Meadow Ponds, and next to the ponds was the chicken man. There was a fellow that had a chicken farm with like, I don't know, like 24, 30 coops, something like that.
Wait, the chicken man?
Well, not like from the song, but like,
I have 72 issues of the chicken man from 68 through 72.
No relation.
All right.
No, he was the Whippany chicken man. He had a chicken farm.
Whippany chicken.
And, you know, he had chickens, there was a few dogs to keep him safe. And you'd hear them at like, roosters do not crow at the break of dawn. It's like an hour and a half before the sun has even thought about getting over the edge.
Oh boy.
That's when roosters start their fucking routine. And but I would see these chickens all the time, because sometimes they'd hop the fence. He had their wings were clipped, so they couldn't get like far, but they can fly a little bit. And so every once in a while, one would get on top of a coop and make it over a fence. And so I remember seeing a lot of chickens as a kid. What I also saw that was really weird, really cool, was the geese and the ducks would go over into the chicken farm and fuck the chickens.
Really?
Yeah. And you'd have, and then you'd have these mutant ducks and chickens.
What?
Yeah, swear to God, it was the weirdest fucking. Like you'd see a duck with like the flappy rooster shit on its face.
Huh.
And like really pointy claws on webbed feet.
But do they have the right chromosomes? They must have.
I don't know how the fuck it worked, but it worked. I don't like, but and it was,
I
it
fucked
was
something a duck, that we would see. But I see. Knew she wasn't going to get pregnant. That doesn't compute.
Life is like a hurricane, man.
Well, there is a duck called the Muscovy duck, and they have the weirdo.
Yeah, bubbly yeah, I've seen those. Beats, I've seen those.
But they're naturally like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, this was like an anomaly that we would see at the ponds.
Weird.
Really fucking weird.
They have muscular dystrophy. What is it called?
Where are they native to? Where are those ducks native?
I think it's Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not in Europe.
No.
Yeah. These are just like mutated, like ducks and geese would fuck chickens, you know? And sometimes I guess a rooster would fuck a goose.
I bet you there's a porn category and we could see it if you could edit that in later.
Sure. I'll Google it right now. Can we pull that up?
We'll be right back.
Look-a-duck.
So you got any shows coming up, Carl, that we can talk about? When we record, won't get fucking aired because the computer will just not take it.
Maybe CarlSucks.com.
Carl, did you by any chance, have you been to Hawaii and did you maybe take an idol from a volcano?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. What does that have to do with anything?
No, I'm just putting some pieces together.
But just the one time.
I'm just putting some pieces together.
Okay, I'm looking at my schedule on CarlSucks.com.
Check the sketty, Carl.
Gig calendar. Okay, I will be at the Eyes Up Here comedy show in Elmwood Park, New Jersey, 25 Wenzel Street, and that will be on May 10, Friday, May 10, and then Friday, May 16th. Come on down to the basement at Tommy's, where you guys saw me.
Hell yeah, Tommy's the basement. That's a fun place.
But there's another one. There's another gig. I'll be doing 15 minutes of solid Carl comedy.
Title your sex tape.
It's comedy at Wild Rover Pub in Gutenberg, New Jersey.
Gutenberg's
15 to 20 minutes of solid Carl comedy.
Steve Gutenberg bought a bar. That's adorable. Oh,
thank you.
You're welcome.
No, but he had partners.
Oh,
it was three men
Did he ever
get a baby?
Did he ever end up getting those boys from Brazil or
what? That's a reference to that's a movie.
The movie, The Boys from Brazil, Gregory Peck.
Remember he met Steve all those Steve Adolf Gutenberg's Hitlers?
Yeah.
Get off my lawn, you ass.
Steve Guttenberg's in that movie for like the first like 30 minutes or something. He's like the photographer who gets murdered. Yeah, he's in the Three Men and the Baby movie.
Really? Because that film's old. Maybe he's older than I thought.
Yeah, dude. That Police Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was like 82, 84, right?
When was Boys from Brazil? I thought it was 70 something.
That was his first film. I think it was like his first like film thing. But he's the reporter who gets killed by the Nazis in the first
half hour or whatever. That shit fascinates me, like the world wars, you know, the rise of Hitler.
No.
Oh, it's crazy. So it's like this it's a movie about the Nazis who escaped the trials.
No, but there was the Nuremberg trials. The plot to make baby Hitlers.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, not baby Hitlers, but to start the Aryan nation. These German scientists who decided not to go with NASA. That's what happened. they went to Brazil. They fled extradition and they went to Brazil and they changed their fucking names to fucking Juarez and shit and fucking tried. You know, and they made a movie about it, but it really fucking happened. Mm-hmm. It really, really fucking happened. And like, it's one of those pieces of history that gets, obviously glossed over for lots of obvious reasons, for the same reasons that, you know, they removed Jackie Robinson from the Smithsonian and, you know, from the military books, you know, because, you know, progress. Pete Hegseth, he's a great guy.
Jackie Robinson, the baseball guy?
Yeah, the guy that broke the color wall.
Yeah,
and he also serves in the United States military. Yeah, well, he's not in any of those U.S. military history books anymore. Because Pete Hegseth is a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
I was like, what did he do? Nothing.
Yeah, did we marry me tooing Jackie fucking Robinson?
I predict that there will be
Jackie Robinson touched my titty in 1928.
Canceled. I predict there will be a second Jackie Robinson. It will be the first female baseball player.
You've talked about this. They have a women's league already, though.
No, I know. They have a women's league. Yeah. They absolutely can compete and share national fame and share $1 million salaries with the big boys the top. If they can compete.
If they can,
it's great. Tryouts. They're tryouts.
If they can, great.
Barbie will not make the tryout. Helga will make the tryout, and she's going to she'll point her bat and hit it right there. Mark my words. 2034, we're going to, 2035, we're going to be looking back on this.
Billboard in center field.
You go, girl.
You know what?
Rosie.
If a woman wanted to try for Major League Baseball, the Riveter. I have no problem with that. I just honestly don't have a lot of faith that it could happen. Because average baseball player, so like when we were kids, Carl, we watched baseball players. Yes. They were smoking cigarettes in the dugout.
Yes.
They kind of looked like us. Because,
talent.
Like, Goose Gossage had a gut, all right? All right, you can't be a fucking Yankee and have a belly no more. You can't be a ball player, like, anywhere except maybe the Padres, maybe Houston, and not look like you're cut from a fucking stone.
Whoa. Can you edit that?
No,
because don't
turn it up.
Yeah, I'll copy and crank paste it. Yeah, all over. Just
pepper. That was a good burp. That was a real good one.
That was so good.
That was like the Wilhelm burp. It's like the Wilhelm of burps.
Oh yeah,
the Wilhelm scream.
I predict that burp will be captured and become the Wilhelm.
So back to Nazis when we talk about Wilhelm.
Joke.
Let's keep talking about women in baseball. Let's keep talking about women in baseball. I like the idea. I do. I just don't see it happening because I don't see, unless she's 6'2" and 225.
Right.
I don't see a woman drilling a baseball over the Green Monster at Fenway Park. It's just not feasible.
I understand.
It's just not feasible. You know, could there be a great woman pitcher out there? Definitely. Definitely.
Well, what about that argument? I am with you. What about that argument? Oh, they do softball.
Softball's different. It's right. It's a totally different sport.
But the thing
but
is,
so is women's baseball. The,
right.
The ball field is smaller. They're playing on a college, on a collegiate level ball
like
field.
Like they're not, Japs. The Japs.
But we have to edit that out. One of our 75 listeners has a Japanese girlfriend.
I was doing a World War II reference.
George Takei's coming after you now.
I meant a Jewish American.
Jewish American princess.
The Gucci bag. No, with the Jolly Rancher candies.
My wife is a, is it my wife?
Farrah Fawcett hair.
My wife's a Jewish South African American princess.
Uh-huh.
It's like J-S-A-P. Just
what a Jasap.
Like a Jehoshaphat or something?
She is such a Jasap. I'm just,
she's
just
really
saying.
Not. She's really not. She's not like, you know. She don't go and get her nails did or nothing. Well, she does, but not like on a fucking like every week basis. That's, you know, overkill. No, but I don't think the idea of women in baseball is a bad idea. I just don't,
you can't see it.
I just can't see it.
Right.
Because the game keeps getting more and more competitive.
Right.
I don't
That's
see
why I'm
them
only
able to keep
open
up.
Okay. I'm only saying open the tryouts. Open the tryouts. Because look, you say
there are some women that are playing on the AAA level. In minor league ball.
Okay. So you say she can't hit it out of the park. Okay. But that doesn't mean you're not a clutch hitter. You're not a get on base
Fair.
Hitter.
Yeah.
Also, we're talking about stealth and fucking zooming down to first base.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Are you kidding me?
And
out there fielding,
you're right.
You're
making
the baseball's
solid
coming.
Points. You're making solid
in
points.
In left field, yeah. She can't run and catch it.
You're making solid points. Is she going to break her ankle sliding into
oh
second base?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
getting,
my goodness.
Getting stopped by a 300-pound second baseman? Maybe.
The tryouts. Let's do the tryouts.
I want to say it's happened.
Can I do like, my Nazi joke yet?
Yeah. I mean, hang on. Are you for him or against him?
Great question. You're a good interview.
Before we let this go across to our 75 subscribers, are you saying this is a pro-Nazi joke?
No, it's a neutral Nazi joke. No, it is a neutral Nazi joke.
What are you,
I'm going on record.
What is he, Switzerland?
Das ist recht.
Jesus
Christ. Ich bin ein generic.
All right. Tell your joke.
I'm
waiting. I'm waiting.
It's like relatable to my life. It's like about getting older, you know, okay. And like loving history for the first time ever. Shit fascinates me. The first Thanksgivings in Turkey. I'm learning a lot. And I learned that the, you know, the rise of Hitler, Nazi. The world did not see that coming. That was my big punch. That was good.
No, you know what this thing's missing is crickets.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The next sound machine I get's got to have crickets.
I wish it was missing a battery.
No, that was good. Don't hurt him.
Jesus.
I'll put it away. It needs crickets. I don't like that joke.
Oh, well, okay. Well, it got a laugh riot at Caesar's Palace. Now, and I'll tell you, you're not into history?
Are you kidding? I love history.
Fascinates me.
That's why.
Did you know World War One? We renamed World War One?
Huh?
Did you know we renamed World War One?
Yeah.
It was called the Great War or the War. Yeah, but we renamed it World War One when we won!
No, because we had a sequel.
That's the World War we won.
Because
America.
Fucking sequel.
I wouldn't have named it World War II. I would have named it World War One again. Go, America. Number one. That, you know what? That's great about America. The greatest thing about America, we don't brag. We don't brag. Number one in not bragging, USA. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Yeah, that's because we're going to keep having to re-record this. No, but I was going to say something.
Okay, that was my Nazi joke.
That's terrible.
And it was neutral, right? It wasn't pro or con.
Yeah, it was like the baking soda of jokes.
But listen, nobody's all bad. Nobody's all bad. Did you know that Hitler made the Volkswagen? The Volkswagen?
I've heard.
Yeah.
He didn't make the Volkswagen.
He made it happen.
He let it happen.
Well, he wanted a people's car, reasonably priced, like $800, something he could afford. Yeah. Reasonably priced, reliable car. It was a good thing he did, because nobody's all bad.
It's the only way that he and Elon Musk are different.
Except for Hitler, right?
It's the only way that him and Musk are different, is that, yeah, Hitler made an affordable, reliable car. And Musk made these fucking pieces of shit. It's stupid.
I'm just surprised
Absolutely stupid. I haven't liked a damn thing that's come out of Tesla since the founding of the country, founding of the company.
Well, what about the sedan?
Since 1776, I've been against the electric car.
What about the original Tesla, sedan?
I'm against the idea. It's a battery operated car is a terrible fucking idea because it's not a reusable resource. You're just trading one evil for another.
Instead of burning coal.
Instead of taking crude oil out of the ground, we're taking lithium. Okay, and that's mines. That's fucking raise mining. We are flattening mountains to get to this lithium, and it's why
it chills you out.
Different.
Isn't that an antipsychotic, right? Lithium?
So, yeah. Different lithium.
All right, man, anyway, you don't know, man. You haven't
look,
even.
Man, all
have
right,
you tried
listen,
lithium?
This is not your mama's lithium, man, okay?
This will
get you 0-60 in 4.2 seconds, man, all right?
I was so lift.
No, it's just trading one evil for another. There are other sustainable fuels that we could be using. Corn oil could be a thing we could be utilizing to fuel vehicles. Hydrogen could be a thing we're utilizing to fuel vehicles. But they're ignoring that because it's free. It's cheap. It's so fucking cheap. They want to keep us squeezing. They're going to keep squeezing us with oil and the lithium thing. It's just another fucking evil. That's all it is. That's why I've been against the electric car since the jump.
So it isn't about emissions.
No.
Because the argument I've heard is that it might be electric now and it's not emitting, but we burnt coal to.
Well, yeah, but also the carbon footprint of the battery when you can't reuse that cell because it only gets so many recharges and then it's fucking useless. And then it's a giant chunk of radioactive shit that you, what are you going to do? Pour concrete on it?
Radioactive.
It's some kind of active. It's not good. It ain't good.
And you're not supposed to bury it
near water sources. So I'd call that a fucking issue. No, it's short-sighted. That's my point.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, there's better options.
With you, man.
Yeah, Ireland's been experimenting with it, and it's been working. There's other countries that have been experimenting with hydrogen cell cars and cars that are running on recycled cooking oil.
Well, you know, that's ethanol.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Well, so ethanol has been proven commercially at this point, mm-hmm. and all they could do was make a blend with regular gasoline. Ethyl on its own is not as inexpensive or effective. What is it called? Octane, whatever that is. It doesn't have
not a high enough octane. Yeah. Right.
The thing is, it's renewable. That's the great thing about it. And if all we did was burn kerosene lamps kind of thing, that could be used, you know, and that would be great. But like as a fuel, I just say we go electric, but we get it from like hydroelectric power or something that isn't burning coal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, no, but still, like an electric car, like
it has a lithium battery, and you're right about that.
It's the battery. It's the source. That's the fucking problem. That's it. They've been experimenting with the hydrogen cell car, and it's worked. It's fucking worked.
Mm-hmm. Hydrogen cells.
You can run. There's military vehicles.
Right?
Military vehicles that run on used motor oil. They don't run fast, but they fucking move. Like, there's other ways to do this. There's reusable, renewable sources, and they just keep ignoring it. And if I keep talking about it, one of our 75 listeners, you know, might be in the CIA, and they might.
You mean Chuck? Chuck is not. No. One time, Chuck was involved in this affiliation in South America. He was never a member of the CIA. And I just want to, you know, as long as I can get that settled tonight, Chuck will be happy. I will be happy. We will have 75 people.
Okay.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Chuck.
I feel better. I feel better. Thanks, Chuck. Thank you, Carl. Next joke.
Next joke.
Cue card. Dylan, pull the cue card.
I forgot him.
Chet.
Last time I used cue cards was on Late Night with Anthony Quinn. Because it was late night, you know, so we had cue cards for Anthony. And he needed them. They would just be cues on what was his next joke.
Anthony Quinn.
The world will never know that guy, and it's too bad. He's gone.
No one's going to remember Anthony Quinn.
I don't even know who he is.
I don't mean the actor. I don't mean the actor. Is that what you thought? Anthony Quinn, the actor, right?
Yeah, that's
where I thought you were going. There was another human being walked this earth. He was a comedian, stand-up Canadian. His name was Anthony Quinn. I had to educate him about that movie star. That's how young he was, you know.
Oh.
But he did die like at 40-something. But anyway, if you guys don't know Anthony Quinn, never mind. He was good. He was like Sam Kinison with his own twist. He would have been, I think he was destined for glory.
Ah, but he died, huh?
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah. Way to go. Good move, Sherlock.
Way to go, fuckstick.
It's like a...
When I die, I die, I hope there's at least like three or four people at my funeral, they're like, nice. Good job, dick.
Do you want open do you want open casket?
I want a Viking funeral.
Oh, yeah?
Put me on a little fucking wooden boat, cover me with hay and kerosene and fucking like paraffin wax, and just push me onto a river, like the Hudson River.
Sticks!
And just flaming arrow. Go. Yeah.
Was that thing in which the was it Game of Thrones? The guy like kept missing it.
He kept fucking it up, and then the uncle just takes that out of his fucking hands, like, tell me throws it, turns his back, walks away. Like a dude throwing a strike at a bowling alley, just like, you know, throwing the ball and like walking to go chugging a beer. Like he had the beer in his hand the whole time. Yeah. Yeah, that was a fucking badass thing. But I've had this in my head for a long time. Can't remember which book I was reading some fucking shitty fucking novel when I was like 18 years old. There was like a chapter about a Viking funeral. I was like, that's fucking rad.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you just fucking burn and then you just sink and then your body just becomes.
But in the Hudson, dude, you got to pick a better place.
Okay.
Up the Hudson.
Up the Hudson, like before some waterfall. So like I hit some chop.
Yeah, you're
like,
in New York State.
Eventually I end up on Rat Island or something.
Your bones.
Yeah. Like they,
because you just got burnt.
Like some,
your bones.
I'm going to be charred and then I sink. Like.
Muskrat will be eating your heart.
Yeah, I'll be like crab
it was
food or something.
Cooked.
But eventually my bones wash up. My bones wash up on the North Hudson shore of fucking Manhattan or some shit. And like, you know,
cultures are being friendly.
And like I can't, like you're pulling my hands and feet out of the fucking river. And it's like an unsolved fucking mystery. And all of a sudden, like I'm in like an episode of CSI.
Yeah, the man in the lake.
I'm an episode of CSI.
Did you see that show, The Woman in the Lake? Okay.
No.
You know why? Because nobody has Apple TV. Do you have Apple TV?
No.
Do you have Apple TV?
I'm not paying for another goddamn subscription.
That's exactly.
There's a bunch of stuff on it that I would like to watch.
I want to finish really Ted Lasso. We like started it with like a free trial, blah, blah. And then like.
I found this illegal site. Is it okay to say?
Probably not.
Well, can I say it anyway?
Go for it.
Okay.
Popcorn Flick.
It's not illegal.
.com.
Popcorn Flicks is
what
not illegal.
What do you mean? I'm seeing anything I want to see.
Yeah.
The movies that just came out, that new Bill Murray movie, you just put it in there.
Advertisements.
No, well, yes.
That's why it's not illegal.
Okay, well then fine. Then I can openly talk about
it. Yeah, you can.
Popcorn Flicks. Listen, you don't need a subscription for whatever you want to see. You
want to
see Severance? Great. Severance was great.
It's out there?
I don't really know, but anytime I put in any movie, it comes up.
Cool.
But what about shit from Apple TV?
Yeah.
You found Ted Lasso on Popcorn Flicks?
Let's try it right now.
All right, get your phone. Dangle. I'm not pulling up on the PS3 because we're using that for the
wait. No, monitor. I'm not doing it.
Then don't do it.
Okay. I should have made this clear. I watch popcorn flicks on this piece of shit laptop from 2007.
Right.
It's the only thing it's there for. Because I don't care if it that gets a virus. Because I don't know what's going on there. I used to go to movies123moviesfree.com, something like that. And, you know, the site's gone now. But it was notorious for, I didn't get it, whatever, but for giving people viruses.
The chlamydia or...
That's no with the little penicillin. That's
treatable. Not a virus. That's an infection. That's a bacterial infection. Right? Yeah, that's right.
That's a staph infection. Because my staph.
I blew up a computer on a porn site when I was 17.
Thank you.
That was embarrassing.
Did you
like some of this? No. Having to, you know. Tell my parents, like, oh, I need to bring my computer to Staples. I don't know. It's not working anymore.
I trashed a Gateway computer. And my parents,
Gateway.
Ampland.
What's that?
It was a porn site.
Oh,
like just JPEGs, just fucking JPEGs. Mm-hmm.
Those were the days.
Remember, they would take forever to load.
Yeah.
He would render.
You had so much time.
And it was like, it's getting more flashy.
You had so much time in the tissue. Ampland. I don't think it exists anymore. But I totally destroyed
it. I used to get all amped up.
Who was I? It was, I think it was Jenny McCarthy. I was like downloading pictures of Jenny McCarthy off this thing.
You know what's great about her? She's
annihilated
like,
my computer.
She acts like, I'm obtainable. And I bet she'd go out with a guy like me. I mean, that's what everybody's thinking when she's on screen. Oh, hello. Whatever you say, boys.
It's because she did that episode of Drew Carey. Yeah. She kissed Drew Carey, and then fat guys were like, I can do that.
No, but that's true for so many of the starlets, you know, that... Like you have a celebrity crush on. It's because they're accessible.
We didn't
went on a rom-com adventure.
I wouldn't say we binge-watched, but like a couple episodes a day, me and the wife got through the Drew Carey show. All nine seasons. That show was amazing. That show was fucking hilarious.
I'm glad you brought that up.
It was did you ever watch that show?
Yes.
I thought it's so great. So,
you know what breaks my heart, Ethan?
I missed the last couple seasons because I moved and didn't have TV for a little while.
Popcornflix.com.
We watched the whole thing, but like the amount of guest stars that were on that fucking show, it was so fucking cool. Slash, Joe Walsh. Joe Walsh was a recurring character. He had a recurring character on that fucking show. He just showed up and would like play in the band with Drew Carey. It was like hilarious. It was ridiculous. He had lines. He nailed it. Mm-hmm. It was great. Just fucking Joey Ramone shows up in an episode. There were so many great fucking cameos on that show, but he got to kiss so many stupidly hot women. Like totally out of
I'm innocent.
And it was because
I'm pretending I'm nervous. So I'll get to kiss you.
Yeah, Seinfeld did the same thing. It's your show. You're the star. You're the executive producer.
Well, that's where I was going.
You're going to go into casting and say, "Yeah, I want to kiss Lois from Lois and Clark, the Superman show." You know, I want to. Yeah. Oh, that bitch from Baywatch. Yeah, yeah. I want her to be my girlfriend for
Pamela
5 minutes.
Anderson.
Any of them. Any of them. Yes.
So I've been trying to get this out. It breaks my heart when I see Drew Carey because my wife watches it doing that stupid. Price is Right or whatever.
It.
Okay, I know he loves it. But the thing is, the world has lost what, I mean, for decades. What was that, the 90s? He could have been making all this product for all these years because he's a funny motherfucker.
Well, he still
who knows owns, the potential of movies he could have done?
The guy's a fucking genius. Mm. He still owns, like, the Whose Line Is It Anyway? He owns the rights to that. That's, like, it's still
the kind of genius I'm looking
it's
for.
It's still on TV.
Make me laugh,
it's
funny
still
boy.
Touring.
He was talented.
Like, he owns an improv show. And it's a touring act. He owns the fucking rights to that. Like, he's fucking smart. Guy was fucking really, really smart with his money. You know, so I have a lot of respect for that guy. Shitload of respect. Drew Carey is a fucking legend. American treasure. And a U.S. Marine. Sic Semper Tyrannis.
Wait. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's right.
Sic Semper Serampus.
No, Six-semper, you know, the evil Santa.
That's right?
Always faithful. I just said always faithful.
We're going to terrible lizard. Tonight. It's December 25 where we can have it. Let's go get some kids. You know how you put them in the sack and beat them with the soap?
That's Krampus.
Yeah.
That's if Krampus.
From the Marines.
Jesus. Carl.
You need me on that wall. Did you order the code? You're goddamn right I did. I'm going back to my base. Oh, no, you're not. What?
For those not playing along at home, he's quoting A League of Their Own right now.
There's no crying in court.
Wow. Avoid the clap. Jimmy Dugan.
Is it That's good clear advice. Crystal?
Are we at an hour?
No.
No? Really?
Nope.
Son of a bitch. We're almost at an hour.
Almost.
That's it says cool. 1:55.
Sure not at 2 hours?
No. That's the way the time
okay.
comes right. out. Okay. Because it's like the first hour.
Okay.
Okay, well, how long do we go?
I'm not used to this shoe off to wear. We're almost there.
Yeah,
we're
actually, there. I like.
Can I do the guitar?
That thing? No. It now only has 3 strings on it.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's kind of fucked up.
I can do power chords.
Nah.
Like the pistols.
I told you to bring yours.
You did?
I did. When I saw you on Monday, I said, bring your guitar. And if you want to do a funny song thing, bring your guitar.
I should have. Yeah, well, I wasn't. I was going to do a, duet.
Well,
listen, I got to say, you probably won't do it, but you did Tangerine very well last time.
Thanks, man.
And I do Tangerine, but I do it more like the record. You do it like Nicking It Up. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm talking about? The chickity-chickity dance, you know? It's going to rock it. It's going to rock it.
When you're,
it's keen eyes.
When you don't have a fucking band backing you up, you just kind of have to do
you also you are very can. Masterful with that loop.
I don't use a loop on that song.
Well, I mean, in general, I'm just saying.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's fun. Driving Dylan absolutely mad right now.
Do you hate that sound?
I hate all sounds.
Oh. I'm sorry to contribute. Because I certainly, through
a microphone, everything sounds a little fucking shitty.
Yeah,
and
no.
If you were doing that into the mic, it wouldn't bother you.
No,
you're not in control of the sound.
No, I have a ASMR big time, which some people would think was great, but it's not. It's like being tickled when you don't want to be. It's really annoying.
It's kind of always for me. If you want to spark that again, you can.
Okay, I'll do it.
You go, girl.
Okay, can hold your ears. Like, can you plug your ears through the...
I'll be fine. I like that one.
That's just Carl's hitting the remote start in his Volkswagen. Is he doing the limbo rock? Was that the limbo rock? The limbo rock.
The limbo rock. I'm not sure what it was. I could do the limbo rock.
You could.
If I knew the song.
You could also not.
Oh, whoa, burn. Feel the burn. That was AI.
Yeah, I love that hoo-ha at the end.
Yeah.
You know, I love this canned laughter because everyone who's on this recording is dead.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, Dylan, did you go to Dojo last night?
No.
Ah, bummer.
No, I wasn't feeling well last night either, or Tuesday night. Wait, yeah, today's Wednesday. Yeah, I did not throw up, but good. I sure felt like I was gonna. Thank you.
Because you did
my
not.
Only achievement this week.
Good for you.
You know, going to open mics, I have to say, is extremely hard because as a comedian, you want to be up in front of the audience and make them laugh, you know? Now, you guys have seen me at real shows, and I don't know, when I did it 3 years every Friday and Saturday, like when they're really out there and you're doing your thing, They don't know you're open mic. I mean, you're just doing all the funny jokes that you are proven. So when you go to the open mics, you really are taking a chance because you just wrote it and you just don't know. And sometimes it works in reverse. Like, this isn't going to work, but I'm just going to try it. And then you're like, what? People, what? You know, and suddenly you have something in your back. So the labor, the fruit of all the open mics is those three 30-minute sets, you know, in which it's like, Just the laughy jokes, just in a row, you know? But it's painful process. Like that one I went to last time, right? I started off really good and then I died by the end. That's because the jokes were in that order and that Flatbush joke was when I lost the crowd.
Yeah.
Right? But that's what you risk because you have to, I wrote it. I think it was funny. Flatbush, like, you know, in Brooklyn or whatever. Uh-huh. You know, and then I turn it all around to that. So describes the woman of today, like a flat bush, you know? And then I go, sometimes it's no bush. Like, it could work, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to try it at an open mic and it's painful, but you profit because that joke's in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And
that joke actually, honestly, I think it needs some
trashing.
Needs some adjusting. But it's not a bad joke. It just needs a little retooling.
Well, the thing is,
I don't think it was a bad joke. I just think it was the setup wasn't good, which is why the punchline didn't land.
Yeah,
the punchline's great.
When you have a solid premise, you come up with another one, and guess what you do? You go to an open mic.
You go to an open mic, you try again.
And then you say, please, God.
And you hope for some reaction.
When they don't laugh, they're like, because they're just seeing you tonight. And they're like, this guy's not fucking funny.
A groan.
You know, it hurts.
A groan's better than nothing. Right?
What do you want? Andy Kaufman?
No, but like at least you're
getting any reactions.
Don't throw fucking bottles at you, but like, you know, but like
a groan, like a bad pun.
Yeah.
Or,
at least give me some fucking barometer. A reaction's better than no reaction. No reaction means like you just straight up didn't fucking care.
I record everyone, and sometimes it's one of those situations which is a bunch of comics in the room and they're just not in the mood to laugh, right? Mm-hmm. So what
We were talking about this on Monday. Yeah, keep going.
So like if you tell a joke and then you hear in the audience right? It's like, because it's them, that's your barometer. Okay. I'll try that again at the next mic. Cause you know,
like, fuck sakes, boys.
Like, when they can't help themselves, but it's a gut thing. Mm-hmm. At least you know that much.
Yeah. But like, come on. Like you're at an open mic. You're at a comedy open mic. You came there to tell your jokes and other comics tell their jokes.
Yeah.
Fucking laugh, dude. Give you something for Christ's sakes. Because like it was
the way the world should be.
When we went to the dojo together,
yes,
it was. You could hear a pin drop in that room after a punchline.
Yeah,
there were some comics that fucking really crushed, and you got some giggles. But like I feel like you and I and Dylan, like the three of us, like we got the room laughing because we laughed.
Yeah. I have it on tape. I remember that night.
If we weren't there,
and I know the ones you like that night.
Oh, that one South African Indian fellow was great. I can't remember his name. He was really good.
Right.
He was an He was like an X-ray tech or something.
He was a doctor. He was married to another strange, different.
He was an anesthesiologist.
Mm-hmm. I'm so white to say that.
He was
wasn't
funny
that
as
horrible.
He was
the
funny
thing
as
is
fuck.
It wasn't. That's just my culture. But it was horrible to say it that way.
If we weren't there,
he was exotic.
If we weren't there, dude, people wouldn't have been laughing.
The dojo.
We started people laughing because we laughed. You know, the dude I remember when I first sat down, the dude like flashed the list at me. Hey, man, you here to sign up? I'm like, no, I'm actually not. I'm here to listen. And he was like, wow, a listener, not a judgmental psychopath living in his mom's basement. A listener. Great.
On that tape, the joke you loved was the Fruit Loops joke. the birth defects joke.
Yeah, that was good.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, that was good.
I'm glad you remember it because it sounded on the tape like you would, right? You love the tag. After you got a good laugh out of that, I made that tag. I'm not stupid. you were dying.
I remember that one.
Yeah,
that's great. You guys,
Well, that made it to last Friday.
You two were the most comfortable guys at that open mic.
You really think so?
Really. But the two of the most comfortable. Huh. You know, like you really
8,000 open mics. You looked okay up there.
I mean, like Dylan, you've been on stage so much over your lifetime. Like, it's not a big deal talking to people.
No.
You know how to find that point in the room to just pretend like you're looking at someone.
It kills me leading up to it, but once I'm up.
Yeah, once you're there, you're gold. And that's like, I don't know, for me, like for you, like once you're up there, you feel so much more yourself.
Doing music or comedy, because it's
entertainment. Like you're up on stage.
Oh, you mean for like a show in which you're all practiced and ready to go with it?
You got the nerves and everything, but like once you're up there.
Oh, that?
It goes away.
It went away for me.
Yeah.
I don't have the nerves anymore.
I never do. I still do. Like if I'm playing a new room.
It's such a comfort.
Like I've
really good.
I've got some new rooms that I've booked for this summer, some private gigs and stuff. And like, I'm nervous about them.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I've done, you know, kind of before most of those gigs. And I'm going to feel really fucking anxious. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to like eat like 7 fucking antacid tablets. And chug a glass of water and soldier the fuck on. But I'm going to feel like a lot of panic until I start playing.
Yeah.
As soon as I start playing and I, you know, start and I talk to the crowd, I say hello, everybody, or whatever the fuck, you know, nice to be here. Then it goes away.
Yeah.
Then it goes away. But everything leading up to that.
Yeah. I'm
very fucking anxious before that.
Now you're launched.
Yeah.
You're doing your thing.
Like not every Monday, but there's some Mondays where just, I don't know. It's my open mic. I've been doing this for like a fucking decade, but there's some Mondays where I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel like doing it. I just don't feel like doing it. I just don't feel like it.
Are those tired nights you end up going third, or no? Is that to just accommodate people who've got to leave?
I've been deliberately bumping myself lately, and it's not because of anxiety. It's there's just been some folks that need the first spot.
Yes, I understand.
And I hate to play favorites, but at the same
time. I understand, and it's your mic.
I don't want to play favorites, but I don't know. Like when Mike comes with his wife or his fiance, who's very pregnant and very kind and tired, and they drove together.
You don't fiance.
I'm gonna let him.
You like that one?
Yes.
I'm gonna try my best to get my
slot. I hope this one releases.
When there's kids, when like a youngster shows up to the open mic, like someone like, you know, like 14, 15, 16 years old.
Punky Brewster.
I'm gonna give them an earlier spot courtesy reason, but also because we're legally not allowed to have that kid in the bar after 10 o'clock.
That's true.
Once the kitchen closes. Yeah.
Was that the woman who went up first this last time?
She
sounded pretty.
She's 21, I think. I think she's 21, 22. She's got a great voice. What's her stage name she's going by?
Jewel. Sabrina.
No, it's Laurel Crown. Is that it?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Yeah, she's great.
Laurel Crown?
Something like that. She's great voice. She did Big...
The Laurel Family Jewels?
She did Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell like 3-4 weeks ago at the open mic, and she fucking nailed it. And that's a difficult song. Like, she did the whole, like, up to the attic, down to the basement. Peace, paradise, hood up a pocket.
Yeah.
Like, she nailed that, and that's a fucking acrobatic move as a singer, and she fucking nailed it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and Joni Mitchell's very tough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, she's tough broad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to fight her. I wouldn't want to fight Joni
Mitchell. Actually, that is true.
She's got a cane now. She's armed, boys.
Oh, no.
Stay back.
She's a Joni Mitchell. She'll fuck your day up. She'll
fuck your day up, dude. No, she's from Canada, right?
Yes.
Those bros don't fuck around. They'll fucking hit a dude. Like... She's been to enough honky tonk bars. That
pouty lip, like I'm just resting. Don't fuck with me, face.
I love Joni Mitchell. I love me some Joni Mitchell. She's fantastic. She's fantabulous. We're there. All right, we hit the line.
Can we do Clouds on the Way Out, like by Joni Mitchell?
Sure.
You start.
I always let it go a couple minutes because I'm going to cut out some shit.
Rows and bows of angel hair. And can we get the instruments in the air?
Oh, I don't know the song.
Feathered. Oh, you don't know
it? Not well enough to play it, no.
Oh, well, it's just like G and C.
All right. This has been a show, and we're definitely going to have Carl back on again because this was a lot of fucking fun. And I pray to Christ, we're going to find out if this saved, and we'll let you know. Thank you so much for being here, Carl. Thanks, Dylan, for being here. See you on Mondays at the Open Mic Night. The Open Mic Night on Mondays at the Exchange is the best Open Mic Night in the fucking North Jersey area. It's so fucking cool. We've been doing it for a decade. It's a lot of fun. This goes out at 7. Show starts at 7:30. Your mama shows up around 10. Love you. Yeah. Finish strong.
Very nice.
It's still there! No, with the recording, it's still there! It actually fucking worked!
I can't hear it.
You can't hear what? No. We just listened to it. It's still there. We recorded it. We nailed it. Yay! Hooray! Yay! What happened?